This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
If God is working on the inside of you, which He is, if God has accepted the responsibility of transforming you until you are in the image of Jesus Christ, how are we putting 15 more prostitutes in there, more weed in there, and more hatefulness in there? That ain't a part of the equation. It is Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Welcome to A Place Built For You. Where finding grace messages to watch is easy, where you can access CYWN anytime you want. Where getting spiritually fed anytime you want feels fulfilling, uplifting, simple. Visit your Roku, Amazon, or Apple TV app store and download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now. For more information, visit CreflodollarMinistries.org.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Grace is all about supply, 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 supply. The law is all about demands, demands, demands. The law demands righteousness from a man, and man couldn't obtain it because it was a perfect righteousness. The law is demanding something from you that you are incapable of giving. It's demand. See, here's the thing. If you were able to keep all those commandments and you did it perfectly, I couldn't teach this, but I'm going to tell you another thing that wouldn't happen. If you could keep all the law perfectly, you would have never had a story about a man born of a virgin dying on the cross, going to hell. It would be no use to do it. For if salvation and righteousness could come by the law, then there would be no need to have a Savior to come off the cross. What would you need a Savior for? You got it all together. You's the man, boy. You got this thing. You can do whatever need to be done. I don't need no Holy Ghost. I don't need no Christ. Hey, you tell us to do it. I can do it, Lord. And that's why the law was put in, because them jokers thought that they could do things without God. And He said, I got to show y'all that you can't do this without me. You done got too high strung, and I need to bring you down a tab. I'm going to give you something that literally is going to destroy you. It's going to be against you. It's going to bring shame into your life. It's going to bring condemnation into your life. You're going to get so condemned and guilty and full of all that stuff until you have to come to a point of realizing, I can't do this by myself. And that's the issue, is church folks thinking they have perfected their churchiness and their religion has deceived them, and professing to be wise, they've become as fools. But under grace, God supplies that perfect righteousness through Christ. It's a gift to us. Under grace, He supplies that perfect obedience. It's a gift to us. And through Him, we accomplish what we could have never accomplished on our own. Look at Romans chapter 3:24 real quick. The Bible says that we are made righteous freely. This is an interesting word here. We're made righteous freely. Look here, he says, being justified, the word justified means declared righteous, being justified freely by His grace. So notice, we're justified how? Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So this word freely, it means without a cost. We were made righteous without a cost. You didn't pay anything to be made righteous. You were made righteous without a cost. We are all justified in God's eyes, made righteous without any kind of cause in us. There's no reason in you for God to declare you righteous. What's the reason in you that God would have to say you're righteous? All the reason is in Him. By one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. By obedience of one man, Jesus, many were made righteous. Not because there was a cost you paid. And I'm sure you think, well, I paid the cost to be righteous. I was good today, wasn't so good the next day. I was all right on Friday, cussed a little bit on Saturday. Seriously? We're not talking about God, Jesus giving you like a little piece of righteousness and you working on it as you go. No, he made you completely righteous. You know what you're working on? You're working on the perfection of what he's already made you coming out on the branch. It's kind of like an apple tree. You don't know it's an apple tree really until you see what comes out on the branches. It's got everything in the vine to make it an apple tree. And then the fruit comes out. And so that's what's happening with you. You're righteous right now. Keep believing that. And the fruit gonna start coming out. You're redeemed right now. Keep on doing that. And the fruit gonna start coming out. You're holy right now today, even though you and your wife cussed each other out coming to church. I'm not justifying the cussing out, but I am saying that something's working itself out of you and it will appear, hallelujah, it'll appear on the branch. We are about to see the fruit. If you don't take your belief offline, you listening to me now? Whew. I tell you, when you're trying to convince people, boy, you get tired. I mean, God dang. After a while, you're like, you believe it, you know, que sera, sera. Remember down there, Doris Day, whatever will be, will be. Some young people like, Doris who? Look at Romans 6:17 again. Let's go back to that now. To confirm that it's what you believe, look at Romans 6:17. He says, but God be thanked. Yeah, God be thanked. We looked at verse 16. Look at verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, you listened to, you hearkened to from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were, past tense, delivered. Now, what is doctrine? It's not a big fancy religious word. Doctrine is simply teaching. What's the teaching you're listening to? Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you just said that's believing. It is. I'm working my way down to showing you why it's important to discern what you're listening to and giving your attention to. Because, listen, what you listen to and give your attention to, that's what you believe. Okay? He says, he talks about whatever you obey or believe. Or listened to, or gave your attention to from the heart. This teaching, that's what a doctrine is. This teaching, that's what doctrine is, to which you were delivered. Now notice what he's saying here. This is so amazing to me because he is saying you got to make sure you're listening to the right teaching. You got to make sure you're giving attention to the right teaching. Okay? He says, because from the heart, this teaching is going to be what's responsible for delivering you. This is the process of renewal of the mind to the truth of the new identity in Christ and his righteousness. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 4, 23 through 24. All right, so I say the most important thing for you to do as a human being is to be born again. Yay, and then people get born again, and it stops right there. That's just the beginning. The most important thing for you to do as a born-again Christian is to renew your mind. But we've even left that too general. Renew your mind with what? Watch this, with the Word of God. But we left that too general. You need more precision. Do I renew my mind by being able to recall all the Bible stories? Is that what he's talking about? Renewing your mind in this doctrine. Renewing your mind in this teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. Renewing your mind in the gospel. Just very simply put, you're renewing your mind right now from obedience doing something to obedience believing. Renew your mind in the spirit of grace. And I just sat back down and I thought about, Lord have mercy, where would I be right now if I knew precisely what word do I need to renew my mind with? The word of grace. If I knew precisely renewing my mind with the gospel. Give my attention to hearing the gospel. The Bible says it's good for your heart to be established in grace. Give the attention to hearing the gospel. Myself included, we've not given attention all of our Christian life to hearing the gospel. Why? We didn't know it. Because everybody told us that we were hearing the gospel. And what was happening is we were preaching things and called it the gospel. Now we know. Now we know. Now renew your mind in it. Now renew your mind. Why do you need to renew your mind in it? Because you've heard so much religion. You've heard so much other stuff that it's going to create a war in your mind with the stuff you've heard. Your tradition has made the word, what word? The word of grace of no effect. And that's what's happening. Your tradition, your traditional way of believing stuff. And here I am screaming like the dude who... John the Baptist, just like, listen, I know what you're thinking. I've thought all of the same thoughts. But this is right. And that was wrong. And there's so much more evidence when you start doing it right. Sweatless. Effortless. When you get this gospel right, you're going to see effortless results. There are going to be some things God got to tap you on your shoulder and say, look ahead, look at that. That thing came to pass. Remember when you talked to me about that about 3 months ago? It's done. You're like, sure will. Effortless. How many of you experienced something like that just already? Just stuff that's done. It's like, you can't even think about giving yourself the credit because you don't even know the intricate details of what happened. How this happened? When it happened? What did you do? And the only thing you've been doing throughout the whole process is, God loves me and I know it. Oh, I know God loved me. I know it. I don't know how you're going to fix this, but it's fixed because I already know God loved me. I don't know how you're going to do that, but God loved me. Hallelujah. God's going to heal me because he said it, and I know he loved me. I've just been operating in effortless. Oh, God, are y'all getting this? Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So you see what he's saying here, right? Be renewed when? When you put on the new man, you're renewing your mind with the new man. This gospel is lessons of this new and living way that came as a result of Jesus, which was created according to God, how? In righteousness and what? Holiness. In righteousness and in holiness. So the teaching of the new covenant shows us that he alone is our righteousness. He lives in us, and we are one with him. We are a new creation. We're formed in true righteousness and true holiness. We have the mind of Christ. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit within us, no matter what you feel. Now, this is a big deal right now. I figure, let's go ahead and get really radical. Give you something to talk about. And I'm going to prove it to you, and you're going to see the battle of your old tradition and seeing what it say right there in the Bible. Go to Isaiah 54:9 in the New King James Version, and then go to Hebrews 9:28 in the New Living Translation. All right, so how God deals with disobedience in the New Covenant? That's what most people want to know. All right, so how does God deal with disobedience in the New Covenant? All right, I just told you what disobedience is in the New Covenant. It's what? What is disobedience in the New Covenant? What is obedience in the New Covenant? Right. So, but still people, well, how does God deal with disobedience in the New Covenant? Now, here's shocking. Here's the shocking truth. Sin and disobedience are not the issue. Under the New Covenant, sin and disobedience are not the issue. Doesn't that freak you out? Because that's all the issue in church, ain't it? That's the reason why people go to church, to get some sin relief. Hey, man, why are you at church today? Man, you know, I got to get God healed, man. I need you. Sin and disobedience is not the issue. God has already dealt with those things through the obedience of Christ and has sworn not to be angry with you and never rebuke you again. Look at Isaiah 54 and 9. He has sworn not to rebuke you or never be angry with you again.
Well, God angry with me because what I did, I disobeyed, so God angry with me. You remember in the Old Testament when they disobeyed, you know, everything died and stuff like that.
This is not the Old Testament. Verse 9, for this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. And he swore that. Have you seen after a big rain, there's a rainbow? You still see that today, right? Do you know God promised that before it ever showed up and says, I'm going to put a bow in the sky as a token or a sign of my promise that the rain would never flood the earth again? There's something you can see today of what he promised in yesterday's, and you still see that bow. He says, just like I made that promise, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. You know how New Testament unscriptural it is for you to go around and say God is angry with me? You know what you're doing? You're calling him a liar. This happened because God must be angry with me. That didn't happen because God had, you got the wrong impression of God. He swore to not ever be angry with you. He swore that. And he says, no, will I rebuke you like he did in those days. He says, I'm not doing that no more. That is not how I deal with man, which means I'm not going to allow fire to come down from heaven and burn people up because they didn't do what I told them to do. I'm not doing that no more. Because I'm about to give you my son, Jesus Christ, and in this new covenant, disobedience is unbelief. And you know the issue about unbelief? Until you believe, there ain't nothing God can do for you anyway. But now watch this. Christ has already dealt with our sins on the cross. Look at Hebrews 9, 28. In the New Living Translation, Hebrews 9, 28, New Living Translation. And this is mind-boggling. And if you're not careful, you'll take this the wrong way and think that God's giving you permission to go and act like a fool. And then sin has consequences, and you wonder why. You know, hey, I jumped off a building. Why am I dead? You jumped off the building, stupid. Well, I ate this poison because the Bible says you can eat a poison and will not die. You got to bit. You better get context on stuff. All right, so also Christ was offered how many times? Once for how long? So is Christ getting on the cross every second because somebody messing up? Uh-uh. He's offered once for all times as a sacrifice to do what? To do what? To do what? Read it. To do what? To do what? To take away sins of many people. All right, here's the radical part. He will come again. You better believe that. He on his way back. He will come again. I tell you, he's on his way back. Look at the frequency and intensity of everything. He will come again. Watch this. But not to deal with our sins. Whoa. He's coming, but he ain't coming to deal with your sins. All my life, I thought, oh, Lord, Jesus coming back. I better hear him say forgive me. You know, they say he coming back in a moment of a twinkle of an eye. And I used to practice to see if I could say forgiveness before I blink my eye. And I never could. I said, forgive me. And I tried again, forgive me. And I still didn't make it. Forgive me. And I'm like, oh, God. And my heart stopped being real fast. Oh, Jesus, don't seem like I'm going to make it. And I figure I got to get it together because it don't look like I'm going to beat that twinkling of an eye. Because he finna come and deal with our sins. He says, I'm not coming to deal with your sin. Why is he not coming back to deal with our sins? Because he what? He's already dealt with your sins. Oh, my goodness, he has turned the sin meter off. Yeah. Some of y'all freaking out because you got so much sin, and so you're not going to feel satisfied unless you can do something where you feel like you have earned the right for your sins to be taken care of. You just ain't believing God. He said, I took care of sin. Some of y'all going to meet Jesus. Oh, Jesus, take care of my sin. He like, listen, I ain't talking. Don't talk to me. Move. But Jesus, I want you to take care of my sin. I took care of your sin. I'm tired of you. Every time I talk to you, talk to me about your sin. Ain't you glad Jesus ain't got an attitude? He'd be all up on in y'all presence. I done took care of your sin. What else you want me to do? I done died, got beat up, mugged for you. They beat me till I got black all over the place. My eye blue. I done went to hell for you. They nailed me in my feet. You think you got a problem with your feet? My hands got holes in them. You sit up here trying to be sanctimonious, asking me to do what I've already done. I done did it. And I'm done with you. Don't talk to me no more. I done told you I'm through with that. And I'm about to be through with you. You need to get online. You offline. Somebody done turned your Wi-Fi off, and now you got a 5Y going on in your life. It ain't working. He says, I'm done with your sin. Believe that I'm done with your sin, and you'll be done with your bad behavior. Real freedom is not the freedom to sin some more. Oh, so you trying to say that, you know, you sound just like the guys in the Book of Romans. You trying to say that since he has already handled our sin, that I can go and just sleep around and smoke all the weed I want. See, what is that in you that can't hear that you're free from that? That's not even a part of the Caucasian. Because if God is working on the inside of you, which he is, if God has accepted the responsibility of transforming you until you are in the image of Jesus Christ, how are we putting 15 more prostitutes in there, more weed in there, and more hatefulness in there? That ain't a part of the equation. It is Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior. You still trying to make more and more excuses. Why? Because you don't believe. Because you keep listening to the wrong teaching. Because it make you feel a certain way. Ah, yeah, yeah. You ain't even heard what the guy said because you're supposed to be. Ah, yeah, yeah. You ain't even heard what he said. You don't listen. You just talk too much. And I know some people don't listen because they're too busy talking. That's right, preacher. Yes, amen. Oh, hallelujah. You showing up preaching right now. You need to shut up and listen to what I am preaching. Because you'll be the very one going out here getting online talking about how you disagree with the grace message and don't even have enough information to support your disagreement. Except that ain't what I heard. I told you were smart. That ain't gracious. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 4 right quick. Christ has already dealt with our sins on the cross, and he desires for all men to come to the knowledge of this through a full revelation of the new covenant. And verse 4 says, who desires all men to be saved? He wants everybody to be saved, and he wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of grace, the knowledge of Jesus. He wants you to come to that. Now, look at John chapter 16, verses 8 through 9. Got a few more minutes left. This is, you see why this message is like paramount? It's like it's vital to the foundation of the gospel. Have to hear this, have to know this. And even after you know this, you are bound. If I was betting, man, I'd bet you are going to hear somebody say, well, you know, brother, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just religious jargon. Yeah, it is under the Old Testament, but we ain't offering sheep and doves no more. Jesus is our final sacrifice.
Are you focused on doing works so that God sees you as obedient? In the Six Message series, Is Your Belief System Offline?, Creflo Dollar teaches that obedience is not measured by performance. It's simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ.
Everything we have and everything we get now as New Testament Christians, we get it because of what Jesus did. The Old Testament was all about you working for God. The New Testament is all about God working for you. Obedience in the New Testament is called belief. Disobedience is called unbelief. Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Order this life-changing CD series today for a love gift of just $35 or more. This series is also available in DVD format for a love gift of $45 or more. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to order today.
Calling all men. September 9th and 10th, join men from all over the world for Mentality Men's Conference.
Our real authority is in our intimate relationship with God.
You don't want to miss this free conference. Register now. Text Mentality to 51555 or scan the QR code on your screen.
We came from God, gentlemen. If anybody needs to have a relationship with God and understand God, we should be going around on our face, crying out before God.
See you September 9th and 10th with Creflo Dollar.
We should be the guys lifting our hands up in praise service. We should be closer to God than anybody. Everybody in our family is nourished by us.
Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and grab your free seat. Register now.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today. And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
Creflo and Taffy Dollar love connecting with you. And here at World Changers, we understand the importance of using technology to do just that. We're constantly working to bring the gospel of Christ to thousands of viewers and followers around the world. And we want you to get involved. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We want to make the word of grace available throughout every voice of social media.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.